I'd like to turn your Bible to the book of Titus. We'll be using that book this morning mainly in our lesson. Last Sunday morning, a few minutes before our service was to begin, as told to me yesterday by one of the student was walking in the direction of our building and met some others going in the other direction who said, "There's not a seat in the building." And so they went somewhere else. Because of that, our elders made the decision to go to two services beginning this morning, and although perhaps more than half of the students are out of town and many of our own local folks are out of town, you can see the attendance this morning at this service, and we had 134 at the early service this morning. We would have had a building full even today if all of us had been together at the same time. I'm looking forward to next week and seeing the attendance that will be here next week. I just believe that we will see a building full at this service, plus a good attendance at the early service. And I want to ask all of you to help us promote our worship to God throughout this coming week. Tell others about the fact that we have the two services now. Think of others who may not be coming and invite them. And let's do everything that we can to promote our worship to God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to have so many that are interested in coming together to worship God that we need to go to two services. And I look for the time and hope for the time when we can even fill this building twice. You may want to extend sympathy to Gary and Frank. They were here at the earlier service, and they have the privilege of hearing me twice today. I appreciate especially Gary's leading the singing at both services today, and the fact that you're here and the participation that you're giving, it's just a wonderful day, even though so many of our folks are out of town. Tomorrow is a day that we refer to on our calendar and in our conversation as Labor Day. That word has been mentioned several times yesterday and today and will be tomorrow, a day that we call Labor Day. I'm afraid we may take a day like that for granted and not really stop and consider what's meant by it. We may very well take for granted the blessings that we enjoy in this country. Although there are some folks who are out of work, and we're concerned about the unemployment percentage and keep in touch with it, in the main, anybody who wants to work in this country is able to find a job. You and I have the blessed privilege of getting up in the morning, and most of us with a high degree of health and going to a job to earn an honest day's pay for an honest day's work, to be able to bring that pay home to support our families, to be able to give to our neighbors, to be able to bring, as we have this morning, to lay by in store in the Lord's work. That's a wonderful privilege that we may very well take for granted. May not really stop and consider the opportunities that are there. But you know, we also need to think about this idea of labor when we begin to think about the Lord's work. Though the holiday tomorrow, the Labor Day that's on our calendar, is basically from a physical standpoint, it has to do with our lives dealing with material possessions. The Bible talks about labor in another sense. Let us labor to enter into that rest, Hebrews 4, verse 11. We are laborers together with God, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. All that we're doing in service to God, as we have His treasure in earthen vessels and go about serving Him and serving one another, in a sense, can be sort of summed up in this concept of labor. Because of that, I want us to use this as a theme throughout the day. Tonight, we'll be discussing the subject, Are We Saved by Works? This morning, as we look at the book of Titus, I want you to concentrate on two words, good works. Six times in the book of Titus, the phrase is used either of good works or good work. Five of these are used in a positive sense, and one is used in a negative sense, showing that there are those who stand against good works. Let's think about the subject of good works for a few minutes. In Titus 2, verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, and he goes on and mentions some other things. Down at verse 14 of the second chapter, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The third chapter begins by saying, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. at verse 8 of that chapter. It is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. At verse 14 of chapter 3. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Then back to the 16th verse of the first chapter, where he's talking about those that are evil and are not living as God wants them to. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now that sixth use, that sixth one that we read, is of a negative nature, showing that those who are disobedient to God and those who stand against God are those who really are against good works and are not involved in good works. We concentrate for just a few minutes on the other five passages. The latter two of these, as you may have noticed, said the same thing. There are four ideas, four basic concepts presented in this book of Titus. In what, young men, those of you that are planning to preach, constitutes an excellent sermon outline just taken from the Bible itself that talk about the concept and the idea of good works. First, in chapter 2, verse 7, he said, you and I should be a pattern of good works. The word pattern is translated in other versions by the word model, or a worthy example. There is a need of our being a model or a pattern or a worthy example of good works. It's rather interesting to look at the six verses that precede verse 7 in this chapter. You will notice at verse 2 that the men are mentioned, particularly the aged men. Verse 3, the aged women, the work that they are to do, involving in verse 4 the younger women. In verse 6, the younger men are mentioned. Isn't it interesting to notice that older men, older women, and younger men are all mentioned in these verses just before he emphasizes the idea of there being a pattern or a model of good works? That's not by accident. That has something to say to us. What it is saying to us in this context is that no matter what age you are, who you are, what you are, that you need to present a pattern. You need to present a model. You need to be a model of good works in the Lord's service. It is true that younger people have more energy than wisdom, and older people sometimes more wisdom than energy. But it is the mixture of these two at all levels, and the working together of people from all levels, that makes it possible for us to really present that pattern and say to the world, look, here is the way that a Christian ought to live. Some people will only see Christ in us. And in reality, when we carry out what is being suggested in verse 7, whether young or old, when we present that idea of service to the community in which we live, we're saying to people, this is what Christianity is about. And isn't that exactly the way Jesus described it in that judgment scene of Matthew 25? When you visited my brethren, even the least of them, you were visiting me. When you were serving people, you were serving me. This is what it's about. When I look at that word pattern, I sort of get the idea that he's talking about a philosophy of life. This is the pattern. This is the model. This is the way of life for us. Could your philosophy of life this morning be characterized as one of good works? Why do you live? For what purpose do you live? We touched on this a bit last Lord's Day, and we have before and shall again, and I do not apologize for mentioning it again and again. I am convinced that the bottom line of it, that the foundational fact of it, is that Christianity is involved in service. It is involved in good works as we reach out to help others. So a Christian is to present a pattern of good works. But then at verse 14 in the second chapter, he says that one is to be zealous of good works. Does not that suggest the right attitude toward service? The right attitude toward not only being a pattern, but using that pattern in reaching out to others. The book of Revelation, as most of you know, was addressed to seven churches of Asia Minor. In many of those instances, the idea was presented something like this: I know thy works. And in most of them, Jesus, through the Revelator John, would say, you've got some good things, but you've got some things that need improving. I know thy works. Particularly with the church at Laodicea. After having described their works as being lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, and admonishing them to do something about it, he comes down to verse 19 of chapter 3, and he says, be zealous and repent. Be zealous. Have a zealous attitude. Really have a desire. If you were to check different versions on this and run a study on the meaning of this word zealous, you probably would run into the word eager, ambitious, a strong desire, really wanting something. That's what's involved in it. Now, can you say that about yourself this morning? Do you live to be served, or do you live served? This goes back to the philosophy of life expressed there in verse 7. What attitude do you have? Time and time again, you've heard the expression that one's attitude determines his altitude, meaning by that the attitude that a person has towards something is going to, in large measure, determine the amount of success that he has relative to that idea. We are to be zealous of good works, seeking opportunities and looking for those opportunities. No doubt God will provide us with opportunity after opportunity to be of service to him. Sometimes we may overlook some of those and not take advantage of them. But if we have the right desire and we are zealous of good works, we're looking for opportunities to serve, we will come more nearly being that pattern of good works described in this same chapter. Then look next at chapter 3, verse 1. He says that a person ought to be ready, not only zealous, but ready unto every good work. Again, I think it not by accident that this is in a setting of talking about civil relationships. Notice that he mentions the government there and tells us to be obedient, even unto the magistrates. And then in that setting, he says to be ready unto every good work. That says to us, folks, that our service is not to be contained in the walls of this building. Neither is it to be limited to those who are members of the body of Christ, although there is a special relationship there, Galatians 6 and verse 10. It does charge us with the responsibility of reaching out to this community in which we live, and then from this community out into any area of the world where we can be of service to other people. Be ready unto every good work that presents itself. There are many civic organizations, other types of organizations within this community where both men and women serve in this community. And we as Christians serve through those many times. But in addition to that, and more important than that, there are so many opportunities in this community for you and me to reach out. To reach out with service when the need is there, and to be ready to meet that need. Maybe to feed someone that's hungry, or to stand by someone who is hurting with a pat on the back or an arm around the shoulder, or our heads bowed together in prayer. To be ready to reach out and to be of service. And concentrate for just a moment, if you will, on that idea of being ready. That suggests some preparedness before the fact. A lot of times we'll see a need and we may say, oh, I wish I could do something about that. We might be better able to do something about more of those needs if we do a little more preparation with our time, our talents, and our money. We're prepared this morning to lay by in store. If we are doing it scripturally, we put some thought to that, purposing ahead of time. That's preparedness. We're preparing ourselves to bring our monies together and to put into the treasury, as we refer to it, that we might be able to reach out and be of service in this community benevolent-wise and otherwise. We need to prepare like that as far as time is concerned, where we do have some time that we don't have to always say, I'm too busy, I just don't have the time to help get somebody else. And we need to prepare our talents. In fact, that's one of the reasons some of you are in school right now, is that you might prepare your talents to be able to serve, ready unto every good work. When I think of this, I like to think of a mother of a young baby. Sometimes fathers are involved in this also, but particularly the mother who has a baby at home that may be a little bit sick. Nighttime comes and that mother goes to bed with one eye open, almost at least, and one ear open to the whimper or the cry of that baby. She may be trying to get some rest herself, but she's ready, and at the first whimper, that mother jumps to her feet. She had herself prepared. She had herself ready, and she also had that zealous point that we've just discussed, that right kind of attitude and desire because of the love that's there. And she's ready to jump to her feet as the need presents itself and to do whatever that need requires. Now, if we can bring that concept over into our relationship with one another in the church and even out in the community, we'll do a better job of understanding this being ready unto every good work. Living for the opportunity, waiting for the opportunity, ready to spring into action. Not counting our deeds, but meeting our needs. Not trying to sum up works of merit to where we can be saved in that sense, for we cannot. But being involved in works of service and obedience and righteousness. Serving God through serving man and serving man through being involved in good works. Then after having mentioned the pattern, being zealous and being ready, twice in this last chapter of this little short book, Paul says in verse 8 and verse 14, you need to be careful to maintain. Now when he says be careful, he says you put some thought to it. Don't let this be put on the back burner. You keep it out there before you all the time. Be careful. And then the concept of maintain suggests a continuation, not just something we do today and we say, I've done my part, let somebody else do it tomorrow. But being ready to maintain day in, day out, next day, next week, next month, if the need is there, whatever is needed. Realizing, as expressed in 1 John 3:17, that we cannot shut up our compassion against a brother who has need and still claim to love God. Practicing that same kind of early Christianity that was there in Acts 2, where they continued steadfastly in the opportunities that they had, even selling their lands if necessary to be able to help one another. Paul said to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1:6, I'm persuaded that God will perform, he will continue this work in you. And that same Paul said as he came to the end of the way, I finished the course. Only in the same context where he says, I kept the faith and I fought a good fight. Careful to maintain. If you notice, as we've been talking about good works this morning, we haven't said very much about rest. Someone has said that the benefits of living the Christian life are out of this world. And they really are. Because you and I don't rest in this life. Oh, we rest physically. That's a part of it. But as far as the Lord's work is concerned, the good works are to be maintained until that day. That day that we either die or the Lord returns, whichever comes first. Oh, yes, we'll slow down a bit. Our voices will become lower. Our steps will become slower. Our way of doing things may change just a little bit, but our need of doing things will not change. Because, you see, we're to be careful to maintain good works today, tomorrow, the next day. As long as we live, that's what Christianity is about. Just keep on keeping on in service to mankind and service to God. Good works. A pattern, a philosophy of life, zealous, the right attitude, ready, a preparedness. And then careful to be involved day in and day out in this, again and again, on and on, as long as needed. That's what Christianity is about. And so as we think about this idea of labor and work over this specific weekend, it behooves us to think about the kind of labor and work, a labor of love, as it's called, that we have in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. What an opportunity that is. What a wonderful opportunity that is. And you know, when we extend the invitation of our Lord to those who are not Christians, in a sense, we're extending the invitation for you to be involved in the good works of Christianity. To save your own soul, yes, but that's not all there is about it. To confess the name of Christ and to be baptized into Christ, that you might become an active participation or participant in that co-labor with God. That's what Christianity is about. And when we encourage those of you who may have ceased these good works or who have become reprobate toward them, like the person in 1:16 of this book, to come back and once again pick up your opportunities, or really pick up your responsibilities and take advantage of your opportunities. That's what we're doing. We're encouraging you to come back to Christ and to be involved again in these good works, that it might be your way of life, that it might be your philosophy of life, approaching it with the right attitude and with the right preparation to be of service to your God through being of service to your fellow man and being of service to him through good works. our Lord himself stands at the door and invites you to come to him and to involve yourself in good works in his service. If you need to answer that invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.
For the Lord's Supper will be number 126. 126.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul